Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
This is Garden Variety, a horticulture podcast from Iowa Public Radio and Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. The blossoms on a spring-blooming tree may be fleeting, but they are so beautiful that many of us are willing to pick a tree based strictly on what it might look like for a week or two out of the year. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Jeff Iles is professor and chair of the horticulture department at Iowa State University, and he is known in some circles as king of the crab apples. Hello, Jeff.
Charity, good to be with you.
And it is perfect out there right now for people who love spring blooming trees. There are so many different varieties in bloom. What's your take? Has this been a fairly good spring for blossoms?
Well, it's like every spring in Iowa. There's good and there's not so good. But today's a beautiful day. It's nice and sunny. It's a little bit chilly out there. But it has been an interesting spring. Spring kind of got started back in February.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough. And there's more to that story. But recently it's been very nice. We've gotten some nice welcome rains, which helps. So I'm bullish on the year ahead.
However, the magnolias haven't put on much of a show this year. Tell me about that.
There are several species of magnolia that failed to flower this spring. And when I went back and checked the weather records, it's probably not surprising. Remember, magnolia flowers were produced on the plant last summer. And so they hang out there all fall, all winter, and they're subject to the vagaries of the Iowa climate. But check this out. On February the 8th, we had a high of 62 degrees. On February 17, we had a low of 6. So here's another example. On February 26th, it went up to 78 degrees, and on February 28th, went down to 7. So woody plants don't like that kind of fluctuation in temperature, and it fools them. And in this case, I'm pretty sure those fluctuations in temperature cause flower bud death. Now, the vegetative buds will survive, which typically are more cold hardy. But flower buds on saucer magnolia, on star magnolia, on lobner magnolia look, at least in this part of the state, look to have been killed. And that's why these magnolias didn't flower this year. So that's disappointing. We wait all year for this. It's like waiting all year for a holiday, and then it doesn't show up. And so it's disappointing.
Well, and magnolias are almost more of a gamble than a lot of the other spring-blooming trees. I feel like they're incredibly beautiful, but they don't tend to last very long.
Well, no, the flowers are fleeting. If we have wind or rain, that shortens the flowering period. And if it gets cold, then the flower tepals, the petals, look like strips of bacon. They get fried by low temperature. So, right, you've got to put these plants in the proper conditions, proper locations. The good news, though, there are some magnolias that did flower this spring. And it's those that have cucumber tree magnolia in their parentage. Cucumber tree magnolia is the only magnolia native to southern Canada, so it has much better cold hardiness. And so if you know the cultivar Butterflies, which is a yellow flowering magnolia, that one did just fine this spring. And I attribute that to its genetic advantage thanks to Magnolia acuminata, which is the cucumber tree magnolia.
Well, let's move on to some other spring blooming trees, because I know you have a long list of favorites, and that means we should just start with crabapples. Why do you love crabapples so much, Jeff?
Well, you know, it's one of those guilty pleasures. Like I like Barry Manilow. So what the heck? Let's like crabapples.
So are
as well.
Crabapples the Barry Manilow of the trees?
No offense to Mr. Manilow. I'm probably going to get letters from his publicist, but crabapples are like the crepe myrtle of the north. They flower dependably. They're fragrant. They're beautiful. There's a growth habit for every situation. And I know they're cliche, and people don't like some of them because of their fruit, but the fruit display in the fall can be quite nice. The good news is there are better selections in the nursery trade today than there might have been 30 years ago. The flowers are beautiful. The disease resistance is beautiful. And so give them another chance. And so when we talk about crab apples, I like to be specific. There are some that I think are just outstanding. There's one called Coral Burst, which is a really nice selection. Raspberry Spear has a reddish-purple flower, and the tree itself is more upright in its growth habit. There's one called Ruby Daze, and that's spelled D-A-Y-Z-E, Ruby Daze, which is another nice pink flower. And a couple of whites, if you like white flowering, Snow Crystal and Sparkling Sprite. I mean, these are great, great names. So don't give up on them. Give them another chance, you might be surprised. And most of these that I've mentioned are pretty easily found. Oh, and there's one more called Showtime. I mean, what's not to like about a crabapple named Showtime?
Well, and you seem a little defensive about crabapples. I personally have always loved them. But, I mean, has there been pushback? Do they feel like they're out of style somehow?
Oh, you know, people make fun of all kinds of plants, unfortunately. I mean, they're overused. And people have this negative perception because of past disease issues or dropping fruit. But come on. I mean, we all evolve as crabapples have. So, I'm defensive, Charity, darn it. And I'm here to speak on behalf of the crabs this morning.
Well, and I mean, even as somebody who loves them anyway, the crabapple trees, you talked about the fall display of fruit, but also it's great food for birds and bugs. You're supporting habitat too.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, thank you. Thank you for joining the team.
I'm definitely on the team. Well, and then this time of year is also the time of year when people drive around, and even if they say they don't like crabapples, they get really jealous of their neighbor's tree.
Well, and imagine a world without crabapples. Let's just start there. Where would Iowa be without the spring flowers of crabapples? So, imagine a world without pizza. So it's a similar similar thing.
So you gave us a nice list of crabapples, but moving beyond crabapples and magnolias, what are some other spring blooming trees that you recommend planting?
So let's back up to the beginning of the spring season. So I don't know if our listeners know much about witch hazels, but witch hazels are more like large shrubs, but there are some species and cultivars that flower in the spring of the year, early spring. Now we're talking February and March. There's one called Arnold Promise, which is a really nice early spring flowering witch hazel. Now, there are some that flower in the fall as well, which is interesting, but I'm talking about the ones that flower in the spring. There's also an understated yellow flowering plant called Cornus Moss, the Cornelian Cherry Dogwood, which flowers in March. And there's a new selection called Saffron Sentinel, which I have one of these in my yard, and it flowered beautifully this spring. So Cornus Moss, the Cornelian Cherry Dogwood, is extremely cold hardy, extremely tough, doesn't mind heat or drought, and has nice early spring yellow flowers.
And we got to enjoy those yellow flowers in the midst of snow this year, so they stand out.
No, the flowers of witch hazel and Cornelian Cherry Dogwood don't really care about the fluctuations in temperature. So I like plants that are low maintenance like that. And then, of course, if you're on campus today or any time this past week, you would have reveled in the beauty of redbuds. I love redbuds. They are native to southern parts of Iowa. But, man, when they're in flower, they're showstoppers. And it's a harbinger of spring. So you can't forget about redbuds.
And redbuds are relatively small trees. Does that make them something that's pretty easy to fit into your home landscape?
Well, relatively small. We have some beauties on campus that can grow 20, 25 feet tall by almost as wide. So in time or over time, they can grow quite large. And there are some newer selections that are a bit more refined in their growth habit. So you might choose those. But I'm a big fan of red buds. And finally, we don't deal much with flowering cherries and plums, but there's a sergeant cherry called Pink Flare, which of the cherries, this is one of my favorites. It has a pinkish flower in the spring. It has more of an upright growth habit and seems to be a bit more cold hardy and a bit more environmentally tolerant to our weather than some of the other flowering cherries. So the famous Sergeant Cherry, named after C.S. Sergeant, who was the first director of the Arnold Arboretum, honored with this species name.
Well, and of course, I think a lot of us see photos from Washington, D.C. during the cherry blossom season every year. And do, again, pangs of jealousy. I think that flowering trees really incite a lot of jealous feelings. But we do have cherry trees, like tart cherry trees, that are in bloom right now in Iowa. But those aren't the kinds of cherry trees that we see in Washington, D.C., or that you're talking about here with the pink flare, right?
Right. Pink flare is the Midwestern cherry that we can grow with the confidence. The cherries you see out there in D.C. or along the tidal basin are different species, and those would struggle here. So, you have to go to D.C. to see those. But we can come close with this Prunus sargentii. Finally,
and does it fruit at all?
I very rarely, if at all. Okay. So it's not known for its fruit. It's just an ornamental plant with nice flowers and really quite attractive bark. And then, Charity, to bring up the tail end of the flowering tree season, we have some tree-form lilacs that do quite well for us. The Japanese tree lilac is one that flowers in June and is a very popular tree. There's one called Snow Dance that doesn't produce fruit. So if you're worried about plants that might make themselves at home, that would be a good selection to choose. And then there's a species, common name, Pekin lilac, There's one called China Snow Pekin lilac that has amazing bark, kind of a peeling cinnamon brown colored bark, really quite beautiful. So, you can start flowering in February and carry it right on through to March by the wise choice of your woody plant trees.
It feels right now, and we only have about 30 seconds, but it feels like everything is in bloom at once, maybe even more than usual to me. The lilacs seem to be in full bloom at the same time as the red buds. This has been kind of a weird weather spring.
We've had flower compression, flowering tree compression, which is unfortunate. You've got to be out. In fact, I don't sleep. I just walk around 24 hours a day watching trees because it'll be here and gone before you know
it. It's the only thing to do.
It's what else are you going to do? But it's unfortunate, but that's the way our springs typically go anyway. So.
Jeff Iles is professor and chair of the horticulture department at Iowa State University. For more gardening information and tips, you can subscribe to our Garden Variety newsletter. You can find out more at iowapublicradio.org/garden and get out there and enjoy the blossoms. I'm Charity Nebbe. Garden Variety is a production of Iowa Public Radio and Iowa State University Extension. It's produced by me, Erin Stile, Caitlin Troutman, and the Iowa Public Radio talk show team. For more garden goodness, please subscribe to our Garden Variety newsletter. Just go to iowapublicradio.org/garden. I'm Charity Nebbe. See you next time.